Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang, the Straits Times correspondent for the territory, and she joins us every week with an update and analysis on the latest news out of Hong Kong. Claire, welcome back.
Hi, Rachel. Always good to speak to you.
Always good to speak to you, and we never have a shortage of things to speak about. And on that, let's start off with news just out today in Hong Kong. Hong Kong's father of democracy, Martin Lee, and media mogul Jimmy Lai were among a group of opposition activists found guilty for attending an unauthorized protest in 2019. What else can you tell us about the verdict?
Well, Rachel, the district court convicted the nine prominent politicians and activists for organizing and also taking part in an unlawful assembly that was during the 2019 unrest. We call it, it was on the August 18th, so we call it 818. That's what it's called. Seven of the nine were convicted today. They include founding chairman, which is of the Democratic Party, Ms. Martin Lee. And then you have got media tycoon. You have got former lawmakers, you know, Margaret Ng, Albert Ho. So two of the nine had pleaded guilty previously. So they were convicted. In a written verdict, Judge Amanda Woodcock noted that police did not object to the Civil Human Rights Fund's application to hold a rally at Victoria Park on the day in question. But officers had rejected the group's request to march in Central and for another rally to be held there. So this was something that happened in any case. So now what's going to happen is the judge will hear mitigation pleas before passing sentence.
And Claire, let's not forget that this does come fresh on the heels of China's top lawmaking body unanimously endorsing sweeping electoral reforms in Hong Kong. What changes can we expect? And perhaps you can tell us about the sentiment on the ground. Any surprises there?
No surprises. I think the writing was on the wall for massive changes. You know, basically it means an end to have patriots serve in Hong Kong. I will highlight three key points. Candidates who now wish to run in a Hong Kong election will have to pass many layers of screening, and that were not as comprehensive, I think, previously. Anyone rejected will have no recourse. In essence, it's game over, okay, if you get rejected. Mm-hmm. In terms of the makeup of the parliament, number of parliamentary seats have been raised, but they've been done in such a way that Hong Kongers can only vote directly for 20 of the 90 seats. So for comparison, the opposition camp had at least a one-third majority in LegCo, and that meant that they could veto anything that they didn't agree on. Now, the third point I want to make is some of the elements of democracy, such as having district councillor seats in the election committee, which is very powerful. It selects, the candidates it nominates the candidates and endorses the candidates for chief executive, as well as the five super district council seats, which would have given the opposition a shot at becoming chief executive as well. These have all been scrapped. So you can imagine that the opposition and activists and even moderates here have been disappointed. And the common saying amongst them in Hong Kong is that the democratic improvements made in the past 20-odd years since the 1997 handover have all been wiped out. And one of the respected political analysts, Ma Nok, also told the media that he thinks Hong Kongers will no longer be interested in voting in elections for that matter, because they may think that the odds are already stacked against the opposition.
And with that, Claire, what does all of this mean for the future of Hong Kong's opposition?
Well, the future hangs in the balance. As it is, Democratic Party chair had spoken on Tuesday saying that, the party will discuss amongst themselves, right? The members will discuss amongst themselves on whether they will be running. So that's a question mark. Now, Chief Executive Carrie Lam on Tuesday said that, you know, people like to equate pan-democrats with people who are not patriotic, which is unfair to them. She's of the opinion that as long as they are patriots, they can run in elections. Now, some others agree with this.
And I'm of the opinion that this is a time for those moderates within the pan-democratic camp to have a louder voice. Their voices were drowned out by the very vocal and perhaps more extreme folks among them. So you never know, perhaps this is when they make a comeback with sensible and clear heads.
And Claire, you know, there were questions that also surfaced earlier this week after it was revealed that the Carrie Lam-chaired security body would be providing recommendations to the new vetting committee. What did she say about that, though?
She was asked about the conflict of interest, Rachel, and her answer was that the chief executive candidate will not be a nobody in Hong Kong. So whatever committee or whatever principal officials, it is not up to them to arbitrarily decide that a chief executive candidate does not fulfill the requirements. She says those sort of worries are exaggerated.
We're speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times. In other news, Claire, details of the resumption of use of the BioNTech vaccine are expected out today. I understand that you've just finished up and wrapped up with that session. Do you have any updates for us, Claire? What's the latest?
Well, officials say the use of BioNTech will resume next Monday, and that's good news for people who have not been able to get their second jab. That's about 30,000 of them in all. I think during this 12 days, it's 12 days because it was suspended on March 24, and it will only resume on Monday. So during this 12 days, 180,000 people are affected. It's good news for those that are getting the second jab, the 30,000 people, because the 42-day window to get one is closing in. So a fresh batch of 300,000 vaccines is expected to be shipped to Hong Kong tomorrow. And the report, the preliminary report is saying that the jabs given out are safe.
And with the fourth wave of COVID-19 showing signs of abating in Hong Kong, Claire, talks have resumed. I mean, we've been talking about this much-delayed Hong Kong-Singapore travel scheme for some time now. But what's up for discussion so far and what's been laid on the table?
Well, Singapore is now looking into the proposal for passengers on the quarantine-free bubble flights to be vaccinated. This was a proposal suggested by the Hong Kong government, who said that, you know, all those Hong Kong people traveling on these bubble flights, need to be vaccinated. And this could be a criteria that both parties mutually agree on, besides what was agreed on previously. Things like, you know, testing pre-departure upon arrival and, you know, having designated direct flights, things like that. Over on Singapore's flight, the government is now studying this. And now that Hong Kong's pandemic situation is under control and vaccination is rolled out to anyone aged 30 and above.
Well, wonderful. Hope that we'll be able to see you in person again soon then, Claire.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.